Good morning, everyone. Well, it's certainly a privilege to be among you this morning. As always, it's a joy to be with you as a family of Salem Bible Church. I am, as a missionary or a servant of the gospel, I am blessed all the time when I receive emails from Pastor Delaney saying, "We're praying for you." This one phrase, "We're praying for you," as I go into my mission trips and various mission trips that I have taken lately, it means a lot. Such an encouragement to know there's a body of believers like yours standing by before the throne of God, praying for the ministry of the word and praying for the gospel to go forth in that part of the world. Lately, you probably heard that I've been in Turkey, Tunisia, and then Lebanon. But in Turkey, I got involved to minister to the Kurds. And it was the Syrian Kurds, which are refugees from Syria. It was such a privilege to be among these dear people. God is doing amazing thing among the Muslims of the Arab world. We're seeing more Muslims coming to Christ in these last days than years that passed since the dawn of Islam. It is amazing what God is doing. And it's just a movement that's taken place among these Kurds, their ethnic group, scattered among Syria and Iraq. I've heard of reports that God is doing something big among them. I question those reports, but I'm here to tell you it is true. There's a major revival taking place among Muslims of the Kurdish ethnic group of that part of the world. It's amazing to see how these believers know what to do. They know to share the gospel. They know to conduct discipleship. They know to go and live for Christ in the midst of much tribulation. Praise God for what He is doing. Thank you for standing by us in prayer. Encouragement to our family now that we have dedicated ourselves, trying to go full-time. And thank you for also standing by our ministry, Arabic Bible Outreach Ministry. It's certainly humbling for me to stand here and share from the Word. You have an exceptional, great Bible teacher, Pastor Delaney. No one can fill his shoes, but I'll try my best to share my heart with you, to share from the Word. If we open to Romans chapter 12, the reading we had this morning. Romans chapter 12, as Brother Scott mentioned, is the start of the practical part of the letter of Paul to the Romans. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, spent the first 11 chapters detailing deep theological truth, such as sanctification, and the major theme is justification. God justifies guilty, condemned sinners by grace alone, through faith in Christ alone. So he spends 11 chapters detailing, unraveling for us these deep truths, theological truth. Then he comes to chapter 12, the word therefore. It's therefore for a reason. He ties these truth that God has revealed to us to now what we need to do. Now the practice, now the Christian living. Chapter 12 is a good outline for a Christian living. Starting from verse 9, as we read this morning, behave like a Christian. I will look at only one verse. There's so much in this chapter, so much in these verses. And this verse is verse 12. Verse 12 of Romans 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Before we dive into the Word, if you don't mind, just bow before the Lord and ask His blessings. Father, we thank You this morning once again for the privilege to come as Your children to worship You. Thank You, Father, for the fact we can come before You, before the throne, boldly worshiping You in supplications and praise. Thank You for the freedom we have in Christ. Thank You that we have been justified and made right before the Holy God. We pray, Father, that You bless Your word to us this morning, that You challenge us, Father. Lord, I pray that You hide me, Your servant, behind the cross, so that the Holy Spirit will use Your word to challenge us and to sanctify us and to change us unto the likeness of Christ. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we saw in Romans 12:12 this triplets, I call them these three clauses, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. It is, I refer to as the triplet of grace. They are woven together, interlinked somehow. And I believe this verse is a good outline for the reason why Christians go through tribulation. Why Christians go through tribulation. And I'm sharing that from my heart. As a family, we've been going through several trials this past year and this year. But mostly as I was traveling and living with these refugees in Turkey, and watching and observing them, and seeing that in the midst of tribulation, God is somehow coming alive to them. And the only verse I can really capture what God is doing through these refugees, through the tribulation, is this verse. And this verse really ministered to me in various ways. Rejoicing in hope. Patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayers. This morning, by God's grace, we'll look at why do we go through tribulation. And here, tribulation, I may interchange it with trials, with troubles, sufferings, distress, persecution, you name it. It's all under this word, tribulation. What should be our attitude in the face of tribulation? And what upholds us and keeps us strong facing tribulation? Before we start, I think two things that's probably obvious for us to quickly understand. Number one, tribulation is not a surprise for us Christians. I think this is evident from what the Lord told us. He foretold His disciples and us. And He said, in the world you will have tribulation. Then He said, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. There's no surprise when Christians face tribulation or when Christians go through trials and tribulation. By the way, I'll be showing the verses as I'm going through. I learned that to show verses on the screen with teaching the refugees was something that they loved. Not only references, they loved to see the whole verse. So I'm using this method with you. If you don't like it, you can complain to Pastor Delaney. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12, Paul talking to the saints, Peter talking to the saints, he said, Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Don't think it's strange that you are going through tribulation. In fact, he goes to chapter 5, he said, Guess what? He's talking to the believers. Those same sufferings you're going through, your brotherhood, your brothers in the world are going through. God has destined for us that we have to go through something called tribulation. We have to go through, as Christians, as children of God, through trials. We have to go through sufferings. You're all familiar with James chapter 1, verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in various trials. So tribulation is the normal experience of believers in this life. Of course, there are some tribulation we share with unbelievers, such as sickness, calamity, death. However, there is unique tribulation that God allows believers to go through. It's unique to us, such as what? Persecution for the sake of Christ. Unbelievers don't understand that. So first thing, realize that tribulation is not a surprise. Tribulation is foretold. Tribulation is part of our Christian living. Second thing, there is a syndrome, I call it, why me, Lord? When all of a sudden we face tribulation, or when we go through hardship, why me, Lord? And our mentality, at least I'm speaking of myself, is I start comparing or contrasting my situation with the world. And I say, Lord, look at them. They're happy. They're not suffering. They're healthy. They're not experiencing infirmity. They are prospering, financially speaking. That's the syndrome we call, why me, Lord? Turn with me to Psalm, let me read it for you. Psalm 73, the psalmist of Psalm 73 went through the same thinking. He was analyzing things by contrasting, by comparing his situation with the world. Psalm 73 verse, and I'll read a few verses. Verse 3 to 5, it says, "For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Verse 7, their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than heart could wish." So he was going through analyzing and comparing and contrasting his situation with the world. But finally he comes to realize in verse 17 that he was mistaken. "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end." There's a difference between the tribulation that God has set, that God planned for us to go through, and perhaps what the world may go through. We have a different end. And this is why in that verse it says, rejoice in hope. We have a blessed hope. And we'll look more at that in the next few minutes. And therefore we rejoice. We know that we have eternity with God. That's our end. Compare that to their end. Anyway, we have these two things we should be aware of. First, it's not a surprise. Second, beware of that syndrome. Why me, Lord? Don't envy the world. Now let's look at reasons why we go through tribulation. The first reason why we go through tribulation or sufferings or trials is God is testing our faith. Let's look at, if you can turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. The reason why we go through tribulation, to test our faith. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 6, it says, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We just read James chapter 1. Are you familiar with James chapter 1? It says, consider it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces what? Patience. God allows His children to go through tribulation to test their faith. In 1 Peter, it says that your faith, our faith, the faith of His children, is more precious than what's the most precious thing in the world. That is gold. Gold is the most precious metal in the world, and it is really a way of gauging, of measuring your prestige, your wealth, the wealth of the world. This is really the currency of the world. But in front of God, gold is nothing in comparison to the faith of His children. Your faith before God is so precious, and God is in the business of purifying your faith. Just like the jewelry or whoever deals with gold, I don't know, purifies the gold by testing it by fire. That's how you purify the gold, by burning those impurities in the gold to make it more genuine, to make it pure, to make it more precious. Well, God is doing the same thing with your faith. He is in the business of purifying those small idols in our lives. These things that rob us from the sweet fellowship with our God. These small things that steals our passion and our whole being from living a holy life before God. And so sometimes God allows tribulation. Time for purification. Time for you to go and be tested by fire. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5. We have the same word in Romans chapter 5 that we see in 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'll read the first 5 verses. Romans chapter 5, we see really an expanded text of Romans 12:12. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. The word character here is the same word that you see in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It says, tested by fire. Proven character. It really means the word proof. It is used of testing metals to determine their purity. Here, to prove the Christian character. So God tests our faith to prove the purity of your faith. Let me take you through some examples of the Old Testament. Turn with me to Judges chapter 2. In Judges chapter 2, God tells His people in verse 21 that I'm leaving the heathen nations around you for a reason. In verse 21, God says, I also will no longer drive out before them any of the nations which Joshua left when he died, so that through them I may test Israel, whether they will keep the ways of the Lord, to walk in them as their fathers kept them, or not. Therefore, the Lord left those nations without driving them out immediately, nor did he deliver them into the hands of Joshua. If you continue in Judges chapter 3, verse 4, we have, they were left that he might, same thing, they meaning the heathen nations, that he might test Israel by them to know whether they would obey the commandments of the Lord, which he had commanded their fathers by the hand of Moses. God left the heathen nations around his people in the Old Testament for the purpose of testing them, for the purpose of showing them and proving to them that you have, and unfortunately this is what they felt time and time again, idol worship among you, O Israel. That you have replaced the worship of God, Jehovah, your King, your God, the covenant you made with God, you have replaced that worship with idol worship. And God left those nations, and they were going, as people, as his people, they had to put up with a lot of sufferings, a lot of hardships, a lot of tribulation. God was testing them for the purpose of purifying them. Examples from the Old Testament. So the first reason why God allows us to go through tribulation is to test your faith. God allows tribulation to determine the purity of your faith. Let's look at the second reason. Second reason, to depend and trust completely in Him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. As I mentioned, these are things we've been going through, and God was working our lives, and of course we turn to the Scriptures. And we're learning, we're growing, and we're very thankful for trials in our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Paul writes, "For we do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened beyond measure, above strength, so that we despaired even of life. Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, who raises the dead." We do not know exactly the type of tribulation Paul was going through, but it appears to be extreme persecution. It appears to be they were persecuted to a point where they realized death was imminent. Here it says, verse 9, "Yes, we had the sentence of death in ourselves." And then Paul says that we should not trust in ourselves. Of course, for this situation they were in, he learned not to trust, of course, in himself, but in God. What? There is an exit. If you die for Christ, because of persecution, there's something that God awaits you. God will raise us up. That's our blessed hope. There will be time when the Lord comes. Those of us who are alive, God will rapture. God will take the dead first. They are privileged. And then those who are alive will be transformed in an instant. And we all meet the Lord. And we will be with Him for eternity. But you know, we can apply this to whatever situation we're going through. In the tribulation, in the present tribulation that you and I may go through. And really, truly, it's one of the things that we are learning, at least as a family, to have complete trust in God. To have complete trust in what God is doing through the trial you go through. It may be financial difficulty. It may be medical difficulty. The Lord permits such trials to teach us to trust and trust in Him completely. God wants us to learn that He is our Jehovah Jireh. God provides. God sees the needs. And God knows how He provides for the needs. But somehow He'll allow you or I to go through this trial, through tribulation, to experience His faithfulness, to experience that He is the God who provides. Paul experienced that. In Philippians chapter 4, he says, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound, both to abound and to suffer need. I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things in Christ who strengthened me. Paul learned to trust completely in God when it comes to his needs. He even experienced this great truth. I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. Sometimes we may be going through, now that we are getting older, we have more medical issues, and we tend to trust in the medicine of today's technology, and we're very thankful and we are grateful for what God is using. But sometimes God allows medical difficulty in your life for a purpose, to trust in Him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. You're familiar with Paul was prayed three times for that God takes the thorn, a thorn in the flesh. We do not know exactly what that thorn is. Some say it is a medical issue. Some say it was opposition against his ministry as an apostle. Some say it was some demonic attack. Anyway, he prayed three times. In verse 9, we have the Lord's answer to him. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Why God allows us to go through tribulation may have to do with your medical or with your health, that you have complete trust and rest in the power of God. Dependence and complete trust in Him. This is really where your faith is tested. Do you believe that God is more than able to take care of you? Do you believe that God is more than able to meet your needs? Tribulation is the answer for us. This is where God teaches us. This is the school of our Savior. Number three. So the second one is to depend and trust in Him. And the third one, we'll look at that, to learn that His ways are not our ways. His ways are not our ways. We do not know the depth of the riches, both of wisdom and knowledge of God. But God in His infinite wisdom has designed tribulation, trials, for a reason. We do not know the level of the stress or the difficulty or the length of the trial or the tribulation that you and I may go through. We do not know. Those are His ways. Sometimes I think of what we go through in tribulation as God is preparing for each believer a certain recipe. And He has the proper ingredients. And He knows the portion of these ingredients and the length of how long you need to go through that tribulation. He knows exactly how far can you go, and He knows exactly how the difficulty. He knows all. My brother is a known chef. He is famous. According to him, he's famous. He's on TV. He is on food channels. Lately, he published a book on Lebanese cuisine. So I was going through it, and I just noticing that he had all these ingredients to the grams and the time you have to cook to make the food taste good. And I asked him, how did you come up with all these numbers? He goes, well, by trial and error. I kept preparing the food, taste it. If it doesn't taste good, go back and change the different ingredients and the amount and maybe the length of cooking, whatever it takes. And he kept going through until he perfected that recipe. Well, guess what? With God, there's no trial and error. God knows all. His ways are not your ways. And God allows us to go through tribulation. And God allows different factors and different things going into the tribulation. I call them ingredients. And God knows the timing for one sole purpose, to perfect us. Turn with me to James chapter 1. In verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We just saw in Romans chapter 5 that tribulation produces perseverance, another word for patience. And here we see, let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect. You may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God knows what to put you through, so He will equip you. He will perfect you. He will prepare you. He will thoroughly equip you for every good work that He has pre-planned for you. How long? Until His work is perfected in you. How long the tribulation? How difficult, or how painful, or how much? It's until He is done with the work that He is doing in you. We have plenty of examples from the Old Testament of men of God whom they went through what I call the school of perseverance, the school of waiting upon God, waiting upon what God wants them to do. And I'm sure it was time of reflecting upon God, waiting for when, oh God, when are you done? When are you going to finish what I'm going through? I think the perfect example from the Old Testament is Moses. Moses waited 40 years. 40 years waited in Horeb. Horeb. He was simply a shepherd taking care of his father-in-law's sheep and waiting until God appeared to him. And God called him for a great ministry to lead his people from the slavery of Egypt. He was 80 years old when God was using Moses. It took 40 years. The story of Joseph. The time between when he was thrown in the jail and he told the baker and the butler concerning their dreams, and he interpreted their dreams correctly, and one of them forgot to tell the Pharaoh about Joseph. Joseph was forgotten for 2 years in the jail. So that was not an accident. That was planned by God. God was preparing him to be the right hand of Pharaoh and to save his people eventually. God has a purpose. His ways are not your ways.
God knows the length of time of the tribulation and trial that you and I may go through. God knows the different ingredients that you and I may need in order that God will equip us, in order that God will perfect us, in order that God will prepare us for the task and the work that you and I have from God. The other example is Paul, the Apostle Paul. Do you know that Paul went to Arabia and stayed there for 3 years? At least that's what I believe. Some say Damascus, but I like to say Arabia. When the Lord appeared to him and separated him into his ministry, Paul took 3 years. We do not know what was he doing, except that God was preparing him to be an apostle for his church, especially in its infancy. God's ways are not our ways. Fourthly, the reason why God allows us to go through tribulation is to experience the glory of God. We just read in Romans chapter 5, verse 2, through whom, through Christ, we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And we know that our blessed hope is Jesus Christ, is His return. In fact, the creation is eagerly waiting, according to Romans chapter 8. Creation is eagerly waiting to be delivered from the bondage of corruption. And we, believers, we are eagerly waiting for the adoption, for the redemption of our body. We are eagerly waiting for that hope, the blessed hope, the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, if we look at it from a heavenly perspective, from the fact that one day we will be with Him, and one day we'll experience eternal joy, and so we know that no matter how big, how painful, how stressful, how heavy is your tribulation, we know that we will be with the Lord. Either in His presence after death, or when He comes to rapture us. That is really what rejoicing in hope. That is really why you find believers. This is what I observed. I was telling you about these refugees in Turkey. They were joyful in the midst of incredible difficulty. They had no citizenship. They could not send their children to schools for the fear of being taught Islam. They were working incredible hours to make ends meet. They were living in several families in one apartment. Yet when they gather together, the joy of the Lord is evident. They were looking for that hope, the blessed hope. They were really eagerly saying, oh, we wish that the Lord would come. Going through all the difficulties they have to go. They had no future. They were waiting. It's a staging place in Turkey to be sneaked out of Turkey to go to Europe. That's basically why they are in Turkey. Some of them were waiting to get their papers and take years for them to get their documents. Rejoicing in hope. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 13. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Listen to what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, if you're taking notes. It says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us far more exceeding an eternal weight of glory. Paul was looking at his present affliction, at his present tribulation, from the light of, or from the point of view of the heavenly thing, from the point of view of the blessed hope. And he says, these afflictions, tribulation, are extremely light if you're comparing them to the eternal weight of glory. In fact, he goes on to say in Romans 8:18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us." You can't there's no comparison between the current sufferings that you or I may go through, comparing them with the glory that's awaiting you and I when we all be before the Lord, beholding His glory and worshiping Him and looking at our Father face to face. What a scene that would be. All of that is to experience the glory of God. Tribulation makes us hope, look for the hope, the blessed hope we have in Christ. Let me just finish with last reason why we go through tribulation. And that is to keep our eyes heavenly focused. And this has to do with the last clause of Romans 12:12, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Tribulation forces us to lift up our heads and keep our heads heavenly focused in prayers. I like what someone said in the, and you see it right on the screen. He said, "Our lives will be joyful, hopeful, and patient in proportion as they are prayerful." There's a lot of truth in that. Our lives will be joyful, hopeful, and patient in proportion as they are prayerful. Really, prayer through tribulation is, I don't want to say the secret, but it's really the strength. It's what we need to go through, to rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be steadfast, to be steadfast in prayer. In in James, that same chapter, in James chapter 1, verse 5, and I'll read it quickly. It says, "If anyone among you suffering," James 5, verse 13, "let him" what? "Pray." We need wisdom. Decision making becomes extremely hard sometimes in tribulation. And God invites us to pray. Pray for that wisdom. And God is in business of, He doesn't answer our prayers, or doesn't grant us our prayers in portions. It says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." We find Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16, after they were thrown in prison, we find them doing something incredible. Something the prisoners found it to be strange. Here they are thrown in the prison, and exactly they do not know what is their outcome. And we find them in Acts doing the following: praying and praising God in the midst of tribulation, in the midst of trial. Their hearts, their eyes were focused on the heavenly thing. So to summarize, let me just summarize it with the following. Tribulation is not a surprise. Tribulation is designed by God for us to keep our hope alive in Christ, that we go through tribulation with Christ, and that we pray through Christ to God the Father. Let me share with you one more passage and I'll finish. That passage meant a lot to me. Turn with me to the book of Habakkuk, Minor Prophets. And we'll read the last few verses from verse 17. Habakkuk in Arabic. You don't want me to hear the other minor prophets. then I'll sound like I'm clearing my throat. Micha. Okay, Habakkuk. Verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high hills. Habakkuk experienced all. No food, no flock, no figs. This is all in the ancient Middle East. That's how you store your food. That's how you take care of your wealth. Then he goes, I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Rejoicing in hope. And it says, patient in tribulation. Continuing steadfastly in prayer. Romans 12:12. I trust that this verse, encouragement to you. You may not be going through tribulation, but you will. Get back to that verse. Amen. Turn it to brother. Thank you.